Growing up, I went to a Lutheran school, a Lutheran day school, Missouri Synod. Are there any Missouri Synod Lutherans around this area? I don't think there's many. In fact, I think Bob on our staff, our sexton, I think he went to a Missouri Synod school, not school, but church up in Cherry Hill. That might be the closest. Well, I remember in this private school, in the seventh grade, we had the science teacher named Mr. Tate. Big, huge guy. Big, tall, tall guy. And this, of course, in the dark ages when I was younger, right? You can imagine this, right? So Mr. Tate, at the end of the day, we had science class. And at the end of science class, of course, what do you think we're ready to do at the end of science class? Last class of the day, what are we ready to do? That's absolutely right. So, like 15, 20 minutes before the end of class, we already got our book bag tied around our arm. Whatever he's teaching about science, who knows? But he did some very cool experiments. Almost blew the school up many, many, many times. It was a very cool teacher. But we're just about ready just to pounce right out of the room. But every day, every science class day, we were sitting there just struggling to get out, just ready to go. He would sense our, shall I say, anxiety. And he would just say, okay, put your books down. Well, the books were already down like 20 minutes ago, so that's like already done. And he had his Bible, he picked up his Bible, and he put it like on his chest, just sort of held it there. And he said, let's pray. That's corny. Pray, really? The bus is out there in the parking lot. I can hear them running. This is not the time to pray. Do you know, Mr. Tate, every time at the end of science class, we're all ready to go, ready just to bolt out of there, he would just pray. And I remember, I'll just never forget, he prayed for us. He didn't pray, you know, for world peace. You know, that's an important thing to pray for. We should do that. He didn't pray, you know, for the Phillies game coming up, or he didn't pray for anything important like that. But he said he prayed for us. He didn't mention us by name. It wasn't embarrassing. But he just went on for way too long, we thought, in that grade, to pray. But he prayed for the kids in that classroom, that God would bless them. You know, I'll never forget Mr. Tate and for the prayers that he offered that day. It wasn't fancy, but it was heartfelt. And I remember, of course, not paying attention while you pray, right? During the prayer, I just saw his eyes were closed, his eyes were facing up, and he had his hands across his chest with that Bible in the middle just praying for us. You know, memorable events like that stay with us. I bet you could think of some. Special events. It may have been last night. It could have been last week. But sometimes these memories take on meaning after a certain period of time goes by. That the significance of an event grows over time. So that when something really cool happens, yes, it's cool, but the significance of the event sometimes takes time to seep in because the context of that immediate event needs a broader view. That's why every year we recall Jesus' story of the Transfiguration. Now, the Transfiguration is a big fancy word for like changing inside out, Transfiguration. It's a time that the church has identified as a good time for repentance. A good time to remember that the light of Christ is what we should be focused on, and that the voice of God that says, listen to him, just as a reminder, we know it's true every day, but it's a reminder, you need to listen. There are many voices, and many of the voices, and they're all good voices, many of the voices, just as a cacophony of sounds, a confusion, a clutter in our ears, we need to just take time every now and again just to pause long enough that we could hear the voice of God. And sometimes surrounding that listening experience is a memorable event. Well, it was certainly true for Peter and John. Now, these disciples, they went up with Jesus alone, James and John. They went up, these three, with Jesus to a high mountain. And we don't know how high. We're pretty sure like what mountain it was, you know, given the topography over there in Israel. But it says that they saw Jesus' glory high upon that mountain. And right before their eyes, they noticed that Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah. Now, we know Moses in the passage that was read to us a few moments ago. Moses had a similar experience on a mountaintop. where Moses, up in the mountain to receive later the Ten Commandments, Moses was being prepared by God, and up on that mountain saw a bright light, a burning blaze, it says. And soon a cloud enveloped him. And Moses was up in that mountain for 40 days. And remember, when he came down from the mountain, his face shone with the light of God. Now, eventually that light wore off. The kind of light that Jesus offers us is the kind of light that doesn't wear out. It's the kind of light that lingers with us. But Peter, James, and John, up on that mountaintop, notice that Jesus is speaking with Moses and Elijah. You know, there are lots of things that you could derive from that story. But one of the things we need to remember is, like in the Psalms, it says, "Forever I am in your presence, even in death." And that Moses and Elijah, even in death, the spirit of that spiritual energy, Jesus was having a conversation with these two great wise people. I wonder what they were talking about. We don't know. But Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah. I wonder how they picked them out. Do they have name tags on? I don't know. Maybe Moses, you know, over time, people just had depictions of him. Maybe that's how they knew it. But maybe, more likely, that they actually overheard the conversation and could tell, "Oh, that must be Elijah. I'm like, did you hear that? That sounds like, is that Moses?" But imagine the conversation going on that mountaintop that day. Now, Peter, being a good Presbyterian, he says, "Wow, this is cool. We need to do this every weekend. Why don't we build a couple structures up here so we can like hang out? Because this is so much better than the life down in the valley. And I like this altitude. And I like not seeing anything of importance here in this cloud. And this is kind of neat." And so they got the committee together with James and John, and they all decided that they were going to somehow build some structures up there so the three of them, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah with them, could hang out forever. All right, I know you're thinking, what were they thinking? But what were they thinking? What would you have done? What do you do when you have an awesome event in your life? A really, truly special, meaningful event in your life? Isn't there just part of you that says, "I wish that could continue just a little bit longer"? Isn't there a part of you that says, "Let's take a picture of this so we can keep the memory forever"? We have a culture today that's trying to capture meaning in life. The thing is that we're capturing everything in life, so nothing has meaning. We're tabulating and chronicling so many pieces to our life that it's hard for us to find what's really, really, really valuable. And we've become sort of visually overwhelmed with images. We've been aurally overwhelmed with sounds. We know so much information today that we maybe can win the trivia contest, but we don't know the most important thing to make the next good decision in our life. It's like we know so much, have seen so much, and hear so much that we can't discern to make the right decision. We know that information alone doesn't help us make the right decision. The right information helps us make the right decision. There was a study some years ago at Presbyterian Hospital in New York where they collected data about people presenting, showing up there with chest pain. And of course, if any of us that have had that, it's a very scary experience. So when you finally go to the hospital, which must be really serious, right? If you actually listen to your spouse or your friend, yes, you need to go to the hospital. No, I don't. Yes, you should go there. So you finally show up. But then how do they decide there if you need to go into surgery for heart surgery or whether you should just be given a couple Tums and sent home? How do they make that choice? Well, years ago, they made the choice by giving you a 25-question survey. And a nurse or an attendant would stand there and just read off the question. You're like, okay, what's the questions? You know, and you're like going down the questions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 18, 19, okay, 20, 21. And what they found over time was that even answering all 25 of these questions, they only had a 60% success rate on whether they made the choice, yes, send them to surgery or send them home. 60% on 25 questions. And what they decided was, what were the three most important questions to ask? the three most. And after they began asking the person coming in, you know, person with some chest pain, they asked three questions. And their success rate went up to 85%. You see, it's not how much we know. It's whether we know the right thing. Last week, we took a survey, and we're tabulating the results now. It looks really awesome, and we'll be reporting them. I'm going to share this with the session first on Wednesday, and then we'll share them with the congregation later. But we just had three questions last week. How engaged were you about a year ago? How involved did you feel? How involved do you feel now? And would you recommend Cold Spring Church to a friend? Just three very, very simple questions. And we ask those questions because we just want to know, kind of take a pulse of in what direction is God leading us? Well, Peter, James, and John, they saw this amazing experience with Jesus. And all they could think of was just keeping it permanent. But Jesus did not create us to stay on the mountaintop. I know you're discouraged. I can see it in your eyes. Why can't I stay on the mountaintop? We like clouds. We like not paying attention to all the noise. This is so cool up here. But you see, Jesus' mission was to help us and send us out to make a difference in the world. Not to keep us cloistered inside a beautiful building. Not to keep us huddled inside, but rather to gather us inside on a mountaintop in a building so that we can be sent out with the right information. Listen to Jesus' advice to the disciples. After the cloud goes away, Moses and Elijah, those images depart. Peter, of course, gets the point now that we're not going to stay here forever, rats. Peter, James, and John are there with Jesus, and Jesus tells them this. They hear the voice. Listen to him. That was the message from God. Listen to him. Not a lot of Bible verses, not a lot of memory, not a lot of history, historical facts, not a lot of, do you believe this? Yes, do you believe that? Do you promise to do this? Do you do the 25 questions? No, very, very simple. Listen to him. Are you listening? Okay, it's the only question today. Listen. Are you listening? Listen to him. Are you listening? Listen to him. Are you listening? And Jesus says, they were scared to death when this happened. They hear the voice. And he says, don't be afraid. Coming down the mountain, Jesus said, I want you to keep this a secret. Are you kidding me? Keep this a secret? We just saw Moses and Elijah. We just had the best time up there on the mountaintop. This is so cool. We wanted to build a couple houses. Did you forget? We wanted to live there forever. No, 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 Jesus says. You got to really hold this one. You see, if they came down the mountain and said how wonderful it was on the mountaintop from their point of view, what do you think everybody would want to do? Go up to the mountaintop. You see, your special experiences with God are your special experiences with God. Your special meaningful moments with your family are your special experiences with your family. And when you have those experiences and you listen to the voices that are important to you, those are voices that are important to you. And there's no need to just spout those out all over the place. Those are special things, and things become special often when we keep them a bit contained. And we mull over them. We think about them a little longer. And we say, you know, the other day I was thinking. And you might think back to an event. It might be a birthday or an anniversary. Or it might be a time of struggle in your family's life. And you know, I was thinking the other day. These things were important to me. These things are coming back to me now. Like Mr. Tate in the science room. You think I thought about that on the bus ride home? No. You think I thought about it a year later on the anniversary of the science class when he prayed for the class? No. That's like, what, 50 years ago? Okay, fine, 60. But no, it's more like 50. But these years ago, you see, that becomes important later when that mountaintop experience, science class experience, that memorable experience you're thinking of, when it comes back to you and you've thought about it over time, and that event from the past, like Moses and Elijah with Jesus on the mountain, those old events come back to the present, and that leapfrog effect brings meaning into another whole part of your life. But if you kept spouting about all of that all along, it wouldn't have any meaning moving forward. Jesus says, don't tell anybody about what you saw on the mountain. You see, this was for you, Peter. This is for you, James. This is for you, John. You're my key leaders here. I wanted you to have this experience. I wanted you to know about my inner light that I hide from everybody else. They couldn't take it. I want you to know that Moses and Elijah and what you heard from them in the past is still current for us today. It's still important to listen to God's voice, and God wants you to listen to me. I don't want you to tell people, oh, look, I heard a voice that said, listen to Jesus. I want you to come down from the mountain and listen to Jesus. I don't want you to tell people you had a great experience and you love God even more now. I want you to act like you love God even more now. You don't need to recount the mountaintop in order to make a difference in the valley. But you need to think about the mountaintop, to think about those memorable experiences in your life, not to just rehearse them, but to bring the meaning into the present. Don't breathe a word of what you've seen, except, hold on to this, footnote, after the Son of Man is raised from the dead, then you are free to talk. What is he referring to? What event do we call when Jesus was raised from the dead? Yes, the resurrection. And what date is that on the calendar? What do we call that? That's Easter, yes? Okay, on Easter. So there were about 40 days between this transfiguration moment, that is in our calendar, and Easter. And that's where we get the word Lent. It's Latin for 40th, counting just weekdays. And it's the special time between when this transfiguration event in our calendar, we just pick a date, that's when it was, and we remember the 40 days Moses spent on the mountaintop with God. Soon we'll be talking about Jesus' 40 days wandering in the wilderness. And we will have our own experience of 40 days, beginning this Wednesday, up through Easter, for all the events that we remember about all the things in our life that are important. We're going to mull over these during Lent. Some people fast, some people pray special, some people give things up. Other people add things to their life during Lent. Like if you never decided to read the Bible every day, well, I think I'll do that during Lent, see if it sticks. Some people say, I never stay in touch with certain family members. Maybe I'll do that during Lent and see if it sticks. But whatever it is during this season of Lent, finally on Easter, we're free to talk about it. We're free to celebrate and bring all these experiences to a special moment when God is in the business of telling the world what's happened. I'm glad that each of you have had special experiences. I'm glad Cold Spring Church has had 300 years of wonderful experiences. But now all these things have been stored up, and God wants us to bring what's important forward and celebrate them today so that what really happens in the future is based on what has happened in the past. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you've invited us just to listen. And I know there are lots of words, lots of noise. Sometimes we don't hear very well. Frequently, we certainly don't listen very well. And we ask that you would help us practice listening to one another, listening to spouses, family, friends, neighbors across the fence, classmates, business colleagues. Help us to listen during this season ahead. And may we especially pay attention to your voice, keeping these things to ourselves, acting as if we've just come down off the mountain, because we know you are with us everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen.